God's going to say, so how will you do? You didn't even believe in my son. Matter of fact, you killed him. And then he gets sent to hell, Gehenna. But we on the other side are special, a part of a very special group. We will stand in front of Jesus Christ, and we will have to stand for Jesus is going to look at us and say, so how'd we do? How'd you do? We'll have to answer for that. But it's not an issue of heaven or hell. It's an issue of the 5 talents or the 2 talents. What'd you do with your life? And I have to keep this in mind for me. It's a simple parable that I've heard since I was a child. But what am I doing with the life that God gave me? What am I doing with the talents that God has placed upon me and given to me? Have I magnified what God's given me and used it for his purpose and used it for what he asked me to do? There's another scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 6. I just want to bring up verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in, where neither and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. With the talents, I have to think of what God's given me. What am I looking for? Because at this point, he's given me something, and the world can entice me to use those wonderful, valuable treasures, those gifts, and I can use those things for the world, for my own self, or I can use those things to magnify God, to show God to the world, to minister to others, and to share the truth. It all depends on where my heart is. Where's my treasure? And I have to admit, I knew God when I grew up knowing God. There's no doubt. Sometimes people can rip on the Catholic Church. And you know, every denomination has got closets that we don't want to look into. But the one thing that I did learn in the Catholic Church was I had faith in God, and I did know who Jesus Christ was. I didn't have a relationship with him, but I knew it, and I learned it. But all of a sudden, I come out, and I had college behind me. I had a lot of gifts behind me that God has given me, but at this time, I'm thinking they're all mine. And I used all those things for the world to make money, you know? Goals in my life. I'm going to make $1,000 a week. I'm going to make $2,000 a week. I had these goals, and it was all about me. And I would use people. And I liked people, and I wouldn't try to manipulate them too bad. But if my job was to get things done with people to make this company better, I did it. So I used all these skills. And all of a sudden, the Lord comes across and says, you know, I want you to really work for me. Sounds good. It was a little tough, to be honest with you, because I had to switch my treasure. I could go through the motions of what God wanted me to do, but my treasure was still, I want to make this amount a week. I want to be in this position. I want people to know that I have worked really hard, and they're going to know this by the house that I have and by the car that I drive. And yet at the same time, I was living for God and thinking I was doing the right thing, but my heart was there. And then one day, as only God can do, he'll ask, are you in or are you out? What do you mean? I want you to do this. You can say no, but are you in to work with me or are you out? And that was the day that Bob Schutz, the previous pastor, had told me that he was leaving and going to live in Woodbury. and it was, he says, God's been preparing you to be the pastor of River of Life, but you don't have to do it. God won't ever force you into it. Nope. Pray on it. And I remember thinking, it was how God was saying, are you in or are you out? I want you to do this. And it was at that point in time that my treasure began changing. And God's gracious. I don't know why I got on that little bird walk, but the other thing is, it's future tense. Living for God now has some huge benefits. But the treasures being laid up into heaven is future tense. The things that you do now, many times I thought, you know, we just got to get through life and get to heaven. That's the whole goal. Get to life, just get through life and get to heaven. That is not the whole goal. The whole goal is God says, I'm going to give you truth. I'm going to give my Holy Spirit. I'm going to give people around you. I'm going to give you all kinds of gifts, call them talents. I'm going to give you all of this. Because right now, you get to practice and put into play what I put on your heart. And how we practice and play with what God has given us now has a direct effect with our future somehow. At least that's what Jesus is saying here. That he gives us something, and we do all we can, and he comes back and says, how did we do? And said, look what we did. You gave me people that I can minister with and talk with, and I love them. It's awesome. It's grown. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, treasures in heaven. There's an implication. Let's move on to verse 21 in Matthew 25. It says, his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of the world. Future tense. And I want to say, Paul confirms this. Honestly, I didn't pay much attention to this. And this isn't something you're going to hear preached very often, but it's biblical and it's in the Word of God. I won't ask how many people have ever heard that you're going to be judged by Jesus Christ. Because I heard that we were not going to be judged in the white throne judgment because our name was written in the book of life. When I finally had this, somebody shared with me, but the scripture says, I'm like, that can't be right. We're not going to be judged. And I read the scripture. Not just in one place, but two places. I'm thinking, bugger. You mean how I live now, even though I believe in Jesus Christ and I've given him my heart, soul, mind, and strength, how I live now has implications in some respects. And once I read the scripture, the parable of the talents makes so much more sense. But in 2 Corinthians, and I read this last week, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 says this. Paul writes, therefore, we make it our aim, whether to be present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear. Paul's writing to the church. Paul is writing not to the lost here. Paul has sent this letter to the church in Corinth. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, all of a sudden, the talents, what you're given, what are we doing with it? Paul also said in Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, well, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to me. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. I'm thinking, that is cool. Some people would go, like with me at the beginning, bugger, because we know what we squandered, right? I know what I've squandered in the past. And like, But tell you what, if that doesn't put a foot to the gas pedal in my life now, that's the key. Whoa! You know, it's not that I want to pile up all kinds of stuff in heaven and I want to be the guy in 10 cities. What I want to do is, I want to do what the Lord wants with what he's given me and to be a servant of his, to be a soldier of his, to be a child of the Father. That's what I want to do. And you know what? It isn't just to get to heaven. That's going to happen. But it's how can I make a difference now with what God has given me? Sometimes being a soldier, we always look at the battle with the devil, with Satan, right? But you ever notice what a lot of soldiers do a lot of times? Don't they go into earthquake areas and minister to the people, the soldiers? Don't they go into flood areas or areas that have been ravaged by fire? Don't they go into famine areas around the world to make sure that food gets to those that need food? You know, being a soldier for Christ is not just shooting a bullet. Many times, it's to work with a group of people to get something accomplished. So I have to ask myself, John, what am I doing with the things that God has placed in my life? What am I doing? I was talking to my son, Nick, and he brought up a story this week. And it's an old story that I've used many times, but it really does, it kind of hit home. And he shared that with me. But the story that he shared with me is this, he says there's this young boy that grew up and he was becoming a man. And as he grew up becoming a man, the father had given him tools, had given him a hammer, had given him a saw, had given him drills, had given him some tools. So as he grew up in life, he'd be able to use those tools, and he'd have those tools available to him. So as it goes on, he had a friend who had their house burned. And he took these tools that he'd had for a while that had been placed in his life, his father had given him, and he started using these tools to help repair the house that had been burnt. And all of a sudden the father looks and sees his son using the tools that he gave him and starts saying, wow, you know, he's using those tools. I'm going to go get him a better hammer. I'm going to get him a better saw. I'm going to get him a better drill. And what happens is we all want the good things that God can give us in life. But many times it's not until you place into practice what you've already got that those gifts that we think are so special can end up in our life. So you think of the talents. How they, you know, think of how it's not the music that's going to do everything. You can be a great musician. It's when a musician sings from the heart, and that music, those songs, can minister to a heart. Or the gifts of preaching, the gifts of teaching, right? Yeah, those are great. But think of the gifts that are so valuable every single day. The gift of friendship. The gift of friendship. Friendship when you need a friend. Friendship when something doesn't go right in your life. A death, a health issue, a job that you lost, and having a person, that relationship, that talent comes by and puts your arm and says, you know, you're not alone in this. You're not alone. That is how a talent doubles. The care, all those little things. And I think all of you know the scripture pretty well, and you can tie so many other things that Jesus taught into this. What we have to worry about are the distractions that can keep us from doing this, that can keep us from not taking what the Lord's given us. As stewards, I mean, it's all his, he asks us, gives us a life, he says, now use this life I will give you my spirit to give you wisdom on how to do it. Use what I've given you. And then when it comes back, I'm going to ask how to go. But distractions that can keep us away from the will of God and looking at the world, those distractions can stop us. Because those distractions will try to take the treasure that you have in your heart and move it more towards the world or self. Because those distractions, I said, those distractions can stop. I'll get back to that. Let me finish up this. It's getting late. Verse 24. Then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there, you have what is yours. I mean, he was so excited that he didn't lose it. He didn't risk anything. He gave back to the master what he was given. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have at least deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back mine own with interest. So take the talent from him. Give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But to him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast this unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus is really clear how this whole thing goes. And I just like, wow. You know, when he, in verse 26, where he says, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. What Jesus is saying, he says, God gives each and every one of us a talent. And how he reaps what wasn't sown and gathers what he didn't do. How he does this is when we take what he gave us and we put it into play. We take the truth. We take how he wants us to love one another. He takes the fruit, right? That he can groom us and we produce fruit. As we take that and take our energy and our time and our love and our focus and we benefit others, that is of value. And at the end, he comes back and he claims all of it. All the good that you do for people because of what he gave, he claims all of it. That's how he claims what he didn't sow. And that, he says, he's an austere man. He didn't give you and I the gifts, the talents, the things of value in our life that we presently have just to give them to us. He gave them to us for a purpose. Because he expects me to produce results. That's what I'm getting from it. And as a Christian, for many years, all I had to do was believe that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. And that was it. I didn't have to learn anymore. I didn't have to become a disciple. I didn't have to do anything. I just had to believe that he was. And whenever I read these things, I'm thinking, wow. After a while, it didn't pass the sniff test. God does expect me to live a certain way and to do certain things. And I am a servant. And I am a soldier. And he does expect me to produce fruit. As the scripture says, if a branch doesn't produce fruit, even after it's been groomed, what does he do? Cuts it off and throws it in the fire. He expects results out of my life. But it's not the type of results that he's a taskmaster. It's the type of results that he says, how I loved you, I gave my only begotten son to pay the price. Out of my love for you, I will give you my love in your life through my Holy Spirit. And that, with the truth, is how you will produce results. Not a taskmaster with a whip, with a thou shalt or thou shalt not. He produces it out of love. I am getting near the end. I came across a scripture this week that just really hit me when I was in my selfish state. Now again, I don't think any of you, I'm not preaching to any of you like you're really in a problem area and you better get your act right. I'm not doing that. But if you can get this in your heart, you can help other people in your lives begin to see things and to share it with love. But in Daniel chapter 5, verse 23, Daniel writes, the Lord through Daniel, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you, and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. So he's saying, the things, the holy things of God, these people took, and they just began using them for themselves. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which you do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. The thing is, all the things that God has done, there's a time in my life that it was all done for the world. I used all of this, my knowledge. And there's even times I've used scriptures, not shared from the heart, but shared to prove to somebody how smart I was in the scriptures. The knowledge, scriptures and the knowledge of who God is will not get you into heaven. Okay? It won't get you into heaven just knowing. What gets you into heaven when that makes a difference in your life, when it makes a difference in your life. The man with one talent was given the knowledge, was given something, but he never did with it anything with it. He was given that one talent, and he buried it. He never forgot it. He knew where to dig it up if somebody asked him for it. See, he was given something, and he didn't do a single thing for it. And here, the master comes back and says, the least you could have done is something. I think of that with the knowledge of the truth of who God is and salvation. You can know it. You can hear it, you can recite it. But unless it has something to do with your life and changing your life to do his will and to minister to others, it just isn't going to get you anywhere. And it was taken from him. And he ended up going into a bad place. In closing, if you guys want to go up there for your move song. In closing, as we battle the fight of life, we battle self. We battle peer pressure. We battle what we see as our treasures. As we battle these things to continue our focus on God and overcome temptation, the world is going to do all it can to step in its way. Right? Either the treasures, the world's going to entice me through temptations with certain treasures out there, that will distract me from what God wants, how God wants me to act and be his servant, or peer pressure will stop me. And peer pressure is something that we can talk about, but how other people think of you has a lot to do with it. So I'm going to close with a poem that was written by a person by the name of Dr. Kent, and it was a poem that Mother Teresa had hanging on her wall. Some people say that she wrote the poem. Doesn't really matter. But I'm going to read the poem, and I have some copies on the back table back there if anybody wants it. And it goes like this. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Fall off and happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you have anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway.